time, the silent herald of life and death, success or failure, the unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Still busy, Professor?
I've nearly finished, Caroline. No more than a couple of minutes.
You work far too hard and far too long.
Oh, nonsense. Besides, you know that if I don't complete my laboratory reports at the end of each day, I never get round to them. There. There. Finished.
I'll take these across to the office for you.
Thank you, Caroline. But I think I'd rather take them myself tomorrow morning.
Very well.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. It is very inconsiderate of me. I'm making you late as well.
Oh, don't worry about me. I have no plans for this evening.
Then in that case, perhaps you'll have dinner with me.
Dinner?
Oh, don't worry, Caroline. I haven't got any, shall we say, romantic ideas. I realize, of course, that you probably think I'm an old fogey and that you see enough of me all day without having dinner with me. But I would like you to come.
I'd like it very much.
Good. A little celebration, if you care to call it that. You see, this is rather a special day for me. And possibly for the rest of the world.
It's that time of year again, colds and flu everywhere. Now, if a cold or the flu should strike in your home, here's sound medical advice. Rest in bed, drink plenty of fluids, and take Bayer aspirin to reduce fever and relieve aches and pains. You see, Bayer aspirin is pure aspirin. There's no need to add other ingredients to Bayer because aspirin, in its pure form, works three ways to relieve colds and flu miseries fast. First, Bayer aspirin quickly lowers burning fever. Second, it brings fast relief from headaches and the ache all over feeling that usually accompany cold and flu. And third, Bayer aspirin soothes and calms your nerves, helps you get the restful sleep you need for speedy recovery. So when a cold or the flu strikes, take Bayer aspirin and feel better fast. World-famous Bayer aspirin, available in hundreds, 30s, and the mini pack.
Enjoying yourself, Caroline?
Very much so.
Good. It's a long time since I entertained a pretty girl to dinner.
Nonsense.
I'm afraid I can't ask you to dance. I've never quite mastered the technique.
Well, I don't like dancing very much myself. But don't let it worry you. I prefer to sit and not talk.
Have another glass of wine.
Thank you, I will. Thank you. Professor, you said earlier that this is by way of a celebration.
I wasn't serious.
It's a special day for you and possibly the rest of the world. That sounded serious enough.
Yes.
Something on your mind?
It is just that my work at the Institute is finished now.
The work?
Project XP 112.
Why, that's marvelous. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
But how can you say your work at the Institute is finished? You know that Dr. Peterson has been waiting for you to finish your work on that project so that you can get your teeth into something else that he's got lined up for you.
No, Caroline, I meant what I said. My work at the Institute is finished. I couldn't undertake any more research work, not now.
Are you going to leave us?
Yes, I'm going to leave. Caroline, do you know what work we are doing?
Not really. As you know, it's top security classification. I have an idea, of course.
I will tell you that it is a new reactor explosive device. Caroline? Caroline, what have we done?
Was your research successful?
If that is the right word. It was more successful than even Dr. Peterson had dared to hope. And you know what an eternal optimist he is.
Well done.
Is it well done to give the world a means of total destruction? The thought of what I've done is driving me crazy, Caroline. This new reaction that I've harnessed gives mankind the most powerful weapon it's ever known. Beside it, all weapons known to man at the moment pale into insignificance.
I know how difficult the sort of work can be for a sensitive man. But you can console yourself that you're only doing a job of work. You're doing what you're paid to do.
That's what everybody said at the Nuremberg trials, Caroline. I was only doing what I was paid to do. I was only carrying out orders. It isn't good enough.
You're overtired. You'll feel happier about things once you've had a bit of a holiday. You need a rest.
Rest? I don't think I shall ever be able to rest again.
If you're not going to work at the Institute, what are you going to do?
I haven't really decided. But it'll come to me. I did say this was a special day. A special day for me. Because for the first time in my life, I've really been able to see clearly just how puny and insignificant we are. Humanity in general. And myself in particular.
We need only to look up into the heavens to see that.
No, it isn't as simple as that. For years, mankind seems to have been bent on self-destruction. Reckless, irresponsible. People like myself, people with highly specialized knowledge, have been helping all this. Now we've reached a lunatic state. Don't you see that I have perfected a means of destroying the world merely by pressing a button?
But think of the wonderful deterrent power that a weapon like this has.
It doesn't work like that, Caroline. You know that.
What are you going to do?
I am going to destroy the results of the work I've done. I shan't tell Dr. Peterson the results of my latest experiments.
Is that why you wouldn't let me take that laboratory report?
That's right.
But, Professor, destroying your work doesn't rob you of the knowledge that you've gained. You'll only be delaying the process.
No. You see, when I destroy my work, I shall destroy myself.
You mean you're going to commit suicide?
In a way. I have the device set up in my laboratory now, on a very small scale, of course. If the armaments people get hold of it, all they need do is to build it on a larger scale, and they'll be able to release enough energy to destroy the magnetic and gravitational forces that make our world habitable. Fortunately, it isn't possible to dismantle the device that I've built. The only way I can destroy it is to activate it.
And blow the Institute into the heavens.
I'm afraid that is unavoidable.
How big will this explosion be?
Extensive.
And what about the innocent people who are likely to die?
It's unavoidable, Caroline. A few innocent people. That's a small price to pay to save the whole world.
It's unthinkable, Professor. You can't do it.
I can't do anything else, Caroline.
Why are you telling me?
I had to tell somebody.
It's getting late, Professor. I think you'd better take me home now. You need to rest. You'll see things differently tomorrow.
No, Caroline. No. I shall never see things differently.
Caroline.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Peterson.
Has Professor Wharton come in yet?
Oh, not yet, Dr. Nell.
It's nearly 10:30. I'm getting worried about him. I phoned his rooms, but his landlady said he left a few minutes before 8 o'clock, as usual.
Maybe he's gone to do some shopping or get a haircut or something. I shouldn't worry about it, Doctor.
But I do worry. I haven't seen his laboratory report for yesterday yet.
He wrote it out last night. I offered to bring it across to you, but He said he wants to give it to you personally this morning.
Well, he knows that I insist that the reports are in my office by 9 o'clock. So he must have intended to be here earlier.
I had dinner with him last night.
Oh. Well, how was he? I have worried about him. He doesn't seem to be himself lately. I should hate to think he was going to crack up at this stage of affairs.
At this stage?
When he is obviously so near to finding a solution to our problems. He's a good man, probably the best in the world in his field, but he pushes himself too hard.
He talked quite a lot about himself last night. He's a very sensitive man. Doctor, I hate talking behind his back, but, well, I think you ought to know that he's desperately unhappy in what he's doing.
He told you about XB-112? The whole project is top security classification.
He only told me what everybody else around here already knows, that it's a new thermonuclear device.
Not a, but the device. The greatest deterrent power in the world.
And the means of destroying the world.
This is the 20th century, Caroline. And we are involved in a struggle for survival. We mustn't be too sentimental. Yes, I'm going to put a security guard at the professor's laboratory. Nobody is to enter until he comes in. And when he does come in, I want to know immediately.
Certainly, Doctor.
I shall be in my office until lunchtime.
Say hello, Caroline.
Oh, good morning, Professor. Dr. Peterson was looking for you. He wants to know as soon as you get in.
I know. I saw him talking to you. I waited till he'd gone.
Everybody's been getting worried about you. Where have you been?
Out.
You should have telephoned to say that you were going to be late.
I am not a school child, Caroline.
I know you're not. But you know the doctor's a stickler for rules and regulations. I suppose he has to be in a place like this.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have shouted at you like that.
The doctor, he wants to see your laboratory report.
I know. That's why I wanted to avoid him. Caroline, do you know where I've been?
No.
I've been walking through the woods. I kicked the leaves that lay on the ground as I did when I was a boy. I picked up acorns. I listened to birds singing. I stood very still and watched rabbits. I climbed through a hedge and tore my trousers. And do you know, just for a little while, I was young again. And it was good to be alive. Does that sound old hat?
No. Now I often do exactly the same sort of things.
But you'll be able to carry on doing them, if you do as I say.
What do you mean?
You must go away from here, Caroline, and quickly. I'm going into my laboratory. I shan't come out again.
Dr. Peterson, I understand that most of your work here at the Institute is top security classification.
That's right. We are, of course, a body quite independent of any of the armed forces, but a great deal of the research that we undertake is of a military nature.
What I think my readers would be interested in is something about the people here. I telephoned Professor Wharton for an interview the other day. He told me that such interviews can only be given with your permission.
Naturally, we have to maintain a strict control over our personnel.
Naturally. Do I have your permission to interview the professor?
Well, so long as there's no discussion of the work that he's involved in here, I have no objection at all. But it's out of the question at the moment, I'm afraid.
Oh?
Professor Wharton isn't here at the moment.
Excuse me, Dr. Peterson.
Yes, Caroline, what is it?
I'm sorry to barge in on you like this. It's about Professor Wharton. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you weren't alone.
Yeah, this is a reporter from the Daily News.
A reporter?
Yeah. Would you mind leaving us alone for a moment?
Oh, of course not. I'll wait outside for you, if I may.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Caroline, what's it all about?
The professor has locked himself into his laboratory.
Well, he often does that with his visits.
But you don't understand.
If I don't understand, Caroline, it's because you haven't explained anything.
Last night, when I had dinner with Professor, he told me that he'd perfected the device of the project, that his work was finished.
Then why the devil hasn't he put in his laboratory report?
The whole point. He explained how he perfected this device, that if developed can bring about the total destruction of the world, as he put it, by the mere pressing of a button.
He had no right to discuss such things with you. This is a serious breach of security regulations.
Oh, for goodness sake, Doctor. This is no time to start worrying about your precious security regulations. Having reached this stage, the professor cannot bring himself to make the results of his work fully known. He says he cannot give humanity the means of self-destruction.
I thought he was pushing himself too far. He's obviously heading for a nervous breakdown.
At the moment, he's heading for something far more serious than that.
What?
He has the device in his laboratory, on a small scale. The only way he can prevent his findings becoming common knowledge is to destroy the device.
But that's impossible.
It's not impossible.
But he has already a reactor unit functioning in there. He can't stop it.
He doesn't intend to stop it.
But you said...
I said he was going to destroy it. I understand that the only way he can do that is to activate it.
But that will blow this place and the area for miles around sky high.
That's right.
Oh, heavens. Are you serious, Caroline?
Yes, Doctor. And I'm afraid Professor Wharton is too.
This is Dr. Peterson calling. Sound alert, emergency one. Sound alert, emergency one. Sound alert, emergency one. I must get down there immediately. Caroline, would you please take up your emergency post?
I'm not on emergency duty, Doctor. I'm scheduled for immediate evacuation.
Then get to your dispersal point.
Not on your life, Doctor.
Caroline, I gave you an order.
And I'm disobeying it. Professor Wharton is obviously a sick man. I'm not going to leave here as long as there's a remote chance that I can do anything for him.
Oh, very well. Come on.
What's going on, Doctor?
This is the emergency siren you hear.
Trouble?
Big trouble.
Can't you give me a story?
This promises to be the biggest story of your life. But it doesn't look as though you'll write it. Or that you'll have any readers to read it.
Get that door open.
They can't, you fool.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't see you there.
What is going on?
Wharton is in there, sir. He has threatened to activate the XP-112 device.
He's locked the security doors on the inside. He'll never get them open.
We can detonate it.
For heaven's sake, don't precipitate anything.
Yes, everything under control.
Well, Inspector, thank heavens you've arrived. This is our director, Sir George Wilcox, Inspector Barker.
How do you do, Sir George? Is there anything I can do?
I don't think there's anything anyone can do, Inspector.
How is the evacuation going?
35 miles radius is a big area to cover, sir.
Yes.
But everything's going according to plan. Everybody should be away in about 2.5 hours.
Oh, I only hope we've got that long.
As I understand it, sir, the professor has gone off his head, and he's got some sort of bomb in there with him.
That's right.
Well, don't you think it would help if we kept him talking, sir, until at least we can think of something?
Good idea, Inspector.
Can you hear me, Professor Wharton? This is the director speaking. Yes, sir. I can hear you.
You must listen to me, Professor.
There is nothing that you can say to make me change my mind, sir. I've thought about this a great deal. And I know that I'm doing the right thing for mankind.
Look, why don't you open that door and let us in so that we can talk things over sensibly?
No. I'll never do that. You can't persuade me.
Let me talk to him, sir.
You shouldn't be here.
Professor, this is Caroline.
I thought I told you to get away. I wanted you to be safe. That's why I talked to you last night.
Professor, I want you to think of all the people who live and work around here. Innocent people. People who aren't concerned with plunging the world into destruction. Ordinary, decent people.
They needn't suffer. I heard the emergency one siren. That means total evacuation of the area for 35 miles around. There's no need for anyone to die except me.
There isn't time, Professor.
I'll give them time. It is now 11 o'clock. I will give you an hour and a half. I won't do what has to be done until 12:30.
An hour and a half isn't long enough, is it, Inspector?
Not really, sir. I've just had a thought, sir.
Yes?
Well, what sort of power does this bomb thing use?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if it worked off electricity, Wouldn't it help if we turned all the mains off at the wall, as it were? I'm sorry if this is daft, sir, but I am trying to think of everything.
It isn't daft at all, Inspector, but it wouldn't help. This whole device is entirely self-contained in the laboratory.
Oh.
There's nothing we can do.
I see.
But the inspector's given me an idea.
Yes?
Well, sir, the professor doesn't carry a watch. I know that. Now, he says he's going to do what he has to do at 12:30.
Yes, yes, we heard what he said.
He's going to have to rely on the electric clock on the wall in there.
Yes, yes.
Well, in the maintenance section, there's a switch that controls all the clocks in the building.
You mean if we switch it off, he won't know what time it is?
Not that. But if we keep switching it off for a few seconds at a time, we're going to gain enough time to evacuate more people.
An excellent idea. Get someone onto that right away.
Right, sir.
I'll do it.
So, you still here?
I'm waiting for my story to break, sir. I'll take a chance on whether I'm alive to print it. This could be the scoop of a lifetime.
Great time is 12:10. But thanks to the young lady's idea, the clock on the wall only shows 22.
I only hope he hasn't got a watch of his own.
If he has, we're likely to be blown to bits in 20 minutes.
Has the building been completely evacuated?
Yes. We're the only ones left, sir.
Except for that reporter. He's working on the clock switch.
I've got to hand it to him. He's a plucky blighter.
Look, are you sure that there's no way we can get into the laboratory, sir?
No. Positive. If only we knew what was going on in there.
We shall probably never know that, sir.
Professor? Professor, can you hear me?
Yes. But I don't want to listen to you, Caroline. I told you to get away from here. There's no reason for you to stay.
Professor, I want you to think about your walk in the woods this morning. The trees, and the fallen leaves. The birds, and all those little animals you saw. Those things are still waiting for you, Professor.
Not for me, Caroline. But I'm making sure they will be there for others. Please, don't talk to me anymore. I won't answer you.
It's a funny feeling, knowing that you're coming to the end of your life, isn't it?
You don't have to stay, Inspector.
I couldn't leave, sir. Not now. I'm not afraid of dying.
That hand is moving round. If only we could delay things just a little longer. Something must happen.
That bloke can't slow up the clock any more than he is doing. Otherwise, the professor would begin to suspect something.
Hasn't he got any family we can call on to appeal to him?
No, nobody, sir. He's quite alone in the world. Nobody can do anything except us.
And we're helpless to do anything except wait. I've done all I can.
Ah, good man. You've saved 40 minutes. And those 40 minutes will have helped a lot. Probably saved a lot of lives, one way and another.
There's nothing more I can do now. The hand on the clock is our fate.
Only a few more seconds.
Professor? Professor? Can you hear me? Professor?
He said he wouldn't answer you.
But I can hear him moving about in there.
I wish I knew what he was up to.
5 seconds. 4, 3.
Be quiet!
I'm sorry.
It's 12:30.
The Sound of Happiness. The
But when pain spoils fun, you need relief quickly. You need two Bayer aspirin. Bayer contains pure aspirin, the pain reliever prescribed most often. Ask your doctor for the facts. Bayer aspirin.
What a nasty cough.
Yes, but you can't take every cough to a doctor.
But you can take Stern's Pine Tar and Honey, made like a doctor's prescription. Stern's is a blend of natural ingredients that clears, soothes, and heals. Lets you breathe again. Stern's Pine Tar and Honey, made like a doctor's prescription.
What's your theory then, Doctor?
Well, the only thing I can think can have happened is that the strain of waiting was too much for Professor Wharton. Remember, he thought he was only waiting for an hour and a half, but in effect, thanks to you and the clock switch, he actually waited for over 2 hours. The strain must have been unbearable.
It was bad enough for us. I shudder to think what it must have been like for him.
If you remember, when we decided to risk the consequences and force our way into his laboratory, we found him with his hand actually on the activator button.
Died of a heart attack, didn't he?
He wasn't a young man.
What will happen to the device now, sir? If it can't be dismantled without activation, isn't there a risk of an accident or something similar happening again?
No. There's no danger of that. You see, the device wouldn't have exploded in any event. I'm afraid Professor Wharton's experiments weren't nearly as successful as he thought they were.
So we haven't got a device capable of destroying the world after all?
No.
I must say, I'm not altogether sorry about that, sir.
At least, not yet.
The makers of Bayer Aspirin invite you to join them again next Tuesday night at 7:30 as the moment of destiny approaches in the 11th hour.